Last Friday, not related to the Arts Center, but to the arts in Simpsonville, the Simpsonville Arts Foundation, of which I'm on the board, had Oktoberfest, which was a huge success. In spite of that crazy microburst of weather, where some vendors lost their tents, and we had to move from Main Street to Burdett Central, it actually was a really good location. And I know some of you went. The community, if you could have seen the people there talking with each other, sitting at the tables, fist bumping, shaking hands, introducing themselves, it was wonderful. And every opportunity I had, I talked to the people about this is for the arts, and thank you so much for coming, and we're booming in Simpsonville. And we talked up, of course, this Friday, put it on your calendar, everybody, Thrillers and Chillers at the Simpsonville Arts Center. 88 musicians, are going to be on the stage performing a Halloween concert totally free to the public. They start their load-in tomorrow. It's a very exciting time. Clark Nesbitt's Crowns recently closed. Really good show. Low attendance, unfortunately. Wasn't as popular as he had thought or well-attended as he thought, but everybody who went loved the show. And I know several of you went, and Doug and I went. It was really a great, great production. He will be starting Raisin in the Sun very shortly. I also want to remind you about the Veterans Day program on November 10th, which is Friday, featuring the Upstate Men's Choir. That's free. That's at 11 o'clock. It will be a beautiful, beautiful program. And I also encourage you, the Nutcracker, the first ever Nutcracker by Cornerstone Ballet, is going to be at the Simpsonville Arts Center. She's added a performance. It will be December 9th, 15th, and 16th, and 75% of the tickets are sold. So if you want to experience the newest Simpsonville Christmas tradition, please get those tickets. Lots going on. I booked art exhibits all the way through 24, and I have already booked programming into 2025. We're busy. Any questions?
Council? I just will make the comment that if you miss Crowns, you missed a fantastic show. And I encourage you to go see any production that Mr. Nesbitt is putting on. Crowns was funny and just was an unbelievable set of talent.
The singing was off the charts.
Just really amazing. Yeah, absolutely. So thank you.
Okay.
All right. Next on the agenda is our economic development report from Planning and Economic Development Director Jason Knudsen. Director Knudsen.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. We're kind of seeing our usual trends of some ups and downs as we're dealing with inflation of costs and interest rates high. But what we're kind of seeing a trend of now with our permits and things, especially with residential, is that permits are being pulled 1 month pretty high and then canceling up, and they pull again and it's kind of slumping. So things are slowing down a little bit, but we're still doing quite well. Included in my report, well, let me get to one other thing first. I noticed that the Boards and Commissions data was incorrect that was sent to you. That was last month's information. This month, Boards of Appeal did not hold a meeting, they didn't have any agenda items, and the Planning Commission only had a master site plan approval, which got approval by 6-0 vote. That was for a restaurant on Harrisbridge Road between the car wash and the quick oil change place. Included this month, I've also attached on my economic development snapshot for the city. It's a 5-year look at our trends. If you haven't had an opportunity to look at that yet, I would highly recommend reviewing that. There was a little delay in getting these out. It was kind of off schedule because we had some old software versus new software, and they didn't like to play with each other very well. And so got this going again. And so I will actually have the 23 data at the beginning of next year. I'll be able to do it at the beginning of the year from now on. But we're seeing, you can see a spike in some of the data from last year. It was kind of a perfect storm of permitting and building and people moving, and you know, interest rates were great. Though we've seen kind of a little slump off, it's still in line with what our natural progression was the previous 3 years to that. So we're still in a good trend there. One of the things to also note is I keep track of the dollars spent, and that's based off of reported revenues and business licensing. And in the last 5 years, we have seen a 31% increase in the amount of money spent here. Inflation is going to have a little bit of an impact on that, but not 31%. that's showing that we are having a really good success with our businesses here, and people are coming here to spend their money.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great spike upward in the right direction. So we're doing pretty well there. If you have any questions, I'd be more than glad to answer those.
Councilmember Gooch.
Thank you. I'll follow up on that. Is that reflective of retail? Is it food? What's the mix?
For the dollar spent, mm-hmm. It's everything. Business license. So contractors doing work, it's retail, it's commercial, it's anybody coming for a business license are reporting their revenues in the city. So the money that they have earned doing business here.
It's more maybe a question. I'm not sure which one maybe I'll answer this. We did a survey several years ago. We found out we had basically $1 billion in retail bleed going out of the city. Any idea where we may be now?
We have not updated that market analysis, but I actually have a meeting with the person who initially did that market analysis on Thursday, and I'm going to talk with him about updating that data for you all, because I would like to see where we are now. I suspect that retail leakage has gone down considerably, but I do know that there are still some areas where we have room for goods and services that we could offer here in the city.
Anybody else on council? Thank you, Director Newsom.
Thank you.
Next up is our monthly financial report from Finance Director Christine Farino. Director Farino.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. A few highlights from the September report. General fund revenues for September were $460,000. Revenues collected year to date are $1.2 million. September expenses were $1.5 million, with year to date being $4.7 million. Sewer revenues for September were $846,000, which includes our funds that we received from our RIA grant. Total revenues collected year to date is $1 million. September expenses were $57,000, and year to date expenses are $173,000. Hospitality and accommodations fund revenues for September were $349,000. With year-to-date numbers at $758,000. September expenses were $12,000, and year-to-date is $949,000. The Public Works Enterprise Fund revenues for September were $5,000. Year-to-date collected was $16,000. September expenses were $50,000, and year-to-date expenses are $197,000. I'd be happy to answer any questions you have.
Council? Thank you, Director Farino.
Thank you.
Next is our City Administrator Report. Administrator Gracely.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. I just want to expand a little bit on Mr. Gooch's previous question and report that Ms. Farino just gave. Our hospitality and accommodations tax revenue is a good indication of some of the increase that we see in expenditures in the city. And just to let you know that currently, with just the couple of months we have for this year, we are up 6.3% in hospitality and accommodations tax revenue. So that trend continues to go up. In previous years, we've been up for unaudited FY23. Looks like about 7%, currently 6.3, and then we're up 19% currently from where we were in FY22. So that's pretty remarkable. You could explain it by the number of restaurants that we've added, the number of people who are out and about. You can see it when you're on the street. You know, there's a lot happening here. Ms. Farino and her staff are getting ready to start the audit. For the previous fiscal year, which ended June 30th, preliminarily it looks like we may have about an excess of $1 million that will be going into fund balance at the end of that audit, if everything holds the same. So we had a very good fiscal year for FY23. On to my report.
Was that general fund?
That is general fund, yes. good news to report, as most of you know, because I did send out an email, we were awarded the Municipal Association Hometown Economic Development Grant in the amount of $25,000, and that money will be used to erect the archway over South Main Street to delineate Festival Street. We were really excited to be chosen for that. To give you an update on some of the ongoing projects, I just want to hit some high points here. You have seen an invitation for the bean signing and topping out ceremony, which is going to be November the 8th at the project site. That's a celebratory milestone for that project. It's just a, you know, we had the groundbreaking in February. We're not going to do the ribbon cutting until next October. So it's sort of a nice halfway point celebration to commemorate that milestone for that project. As I mentioned, the completion date is anticipated to be October 24. That's when we would move into the new buildings, which would leave the current fire headquarters and police department vacant. And those buildings would then be demolished, and the rest of the park that's not in phase one is expected to be completed by March of 25. So just to let you know what is expected to be completed in October of 24 with our move in with the municipal complex, the ball fields will be completed, the pickleball tennis courts, the basketball court, the dog park, the playground, the disc golf. All of those things are part of phase one, which is, you know, coincides with the building. Phase two, like I said, is just a 5-month process. Once we vacate those existing buildings, they have to be torn down, and then the great lawn will be constructed along with the amphitheater stage and the water wall. So we'll have a complete turnkey project in March of 25 is what we're anticipating, and we are on schedule for that. The downtown project is not moving along quite as fast as I had hoped. The design is taking much longer than anticipated. Some of those delays were caused by delays in getting all the survey work back, getting the civil, the landscape architect, and the electrical engineer all designing this simultaneously. The civil had to put their layers in the CAD before the LAs could get started, and the landscape architecture has to be in the CAD before the electrical engineers can get started. But currently the schedule, we are anticipating a bid date in January of 24. So in just a few months, that will be let for bid. With bid opening, contract award, we hope in March, and the project starting in April. So that, be on the lookout for that. Of course, you'll be approving that contract once we have it. I have, in terms of the city park improvement, asked for Eagle Water to help defray the cost of that water wall. They do some cooperative projects with municipalities in which they are the water provider, and those conversations have gone very well. I think that they are going to participate at half the cost for that, which will help bring our project costs down a little. Speaking of grants and outside sources of money, one of the questions that came up at the debate last week was the moderator asked the question about sewer infrastructure being able to handle new development. And I just wanted to remark, because I think this is amazing, there was a 2016 $10 million sewer revenue bond. All of that money has been expended into capital improvements in the sewer system. As you know, we did just receive another $10 million grant, not a bond, not money that has to be repaid, but a grant. And then we just wrapped up a $1.6 million RIA project, $500,000 of which was funded through a grant. So that is a $21.5 million investment in the sewer infrastructure in Simpsonville just in the last 7 years and over the course of the next couple of years. And I think that is remarkable. So you should all be commended for your courage to do the bond issuance in 2016, and then also you know, the success that we've had in seeking outside funding to help keep that infrastructure current. It's really remarkable. onto some other Public Works notes, I did send you all a photograph from Willow Branch. That work is underway finally. They were able to get a culvert box fabricated, and we expect that construction to take another couple of weeks, and then that will be completed. Mr. West is here if you have any other questions about that. I know he's gotten some really positive feedback from the neighbors on that project. And then finally, in keeping with the grant theme, you all included in our current budget funding for new body-worn cameras, equipment, and data storage. That was already funded in full by council. However, the police department applied for a grant through the Department of Public Safety and was awarded $115,193.40 for that purpose. So I say that to let you know that even though council has appropriated funds for these things, we are always looking for outside funding to help supplement the budget and also to provide some relief so that we can have healthy surpluses at the end of fiscal years. That concludes my report. If you have any questions about anything else in there, I'll gladly answer.
Councilman Root.
Yeah, so the body cameras, how much, you said 115, that was from the state?
That is from the state, correct.
How many body cameras will that purchase?
It's for all personnel.
So everyone will get one?
Everyone will get a new body camera. Yeah, we're changing systems completely. So the old body worn cameras are out and the new ones are in.
So does that cover all the costs? Does the city still have?
The city still has some costs, but that certainly puts a big dent in the bottom line of what we are paying for those.
Do you know off the top hand the total cost of?
That we spread that out over a 3-year lease. So this takes care of about 1 year of that. So it will relieve that amount of money in this current budget.
One quick question. The archway, what's the total cost? I know the $25,000 grant, but what would be the total
cost? We don't know yet. Yeah, we won't know that until that project is let for bids and we have itemized costs for every single item that goes in that project will be itemized. It'll be a unit cost. In this case, that's a one lump sum unit cost, but I have no idea what that will be yet because the design hasn't been finalized. Oh, I would like to mention Mr. Hutchings had a great idea a couple months ago to put that particular item on the public engagement platform and let the public decide which design they want to go with. So that'll be when Mr. Campbell's working on the platform. That actually should be ready to go live, hopefully by next week, and people can start to vote on which one they prefer. I have no way right now of knowing what the cost will be on that particular element.
Because it was a match, correct? The city had to put up so much.
We are required to provide matching funds to receive that grant award. So the matching funds we had to put in were 15%. So we have approximately between the grant and our matching funds about $30,000 for that element. Of course, that element was included in the project design when council first approved the project as a whole. We just don't have an exact cost yet.
Okay. Can I make one recommendation? When he does post that, can he make it clear to the public that we received a $25,000 grant toward that?
Yes.
There's very little tax money going to that. That would
be. Yes.
Maybe more people will jump on board. That's
yes.
All.
Thank
you. Councilmember Gooch.
Are we still doing flow monitoring?
Yes.
Where are we with I&I? Any idea?
It's hard to know because it's a double-edged sword. I guess it's good that we haven't had a lot of rain recently, but given the stormwater issues that we had back in May and June. But we're not getting any data right now because there hasn't been any measurable rainfall. But we are seeing a significant reduction in I&I in that particular basin where we just finished the RIA grant that we're getting ready to close out. And we're going to continue to work in that basin and one other basin where we have the largest amount of inflow and infiltration. So by the time we finish this SCIP project, we should see significant reductions. And we work very closely with REWA on the flood monitoring because our lines are not the only ones that are going into those basin flows. REWA has lines that go into that, as do Metro Connect. So, you know, some of that is within our control and our rehab process, but not all is.
Just to clarify for the people who are attending this evening and for the audio record, INI is inflow and infiltration into our sewer system. Inflow and infiltration.
And then the new body cameras, what's the improvement with these cameras versus what we have now?
Chief Hanshaw can tell you more about it than I can, just because, you know, they use these. I don't wear one. I think it has a lot to do with the ability to store the information and also share the data for court and other FOIA requests and things. We're able to, in a much quicker time, create a file to be able to use that information in court and other places where it may be necessary. The clarity is much better, the sound is much better, everything about it is an improvement.
You're not knowing a lot, you sure did do a good explanation. I don't know if he has anything he wants to add to that. That basically covers what I was saying. I don't know if he does or not. But thank you, that answers my questions.
Thank you.
Please, anything else from council? Just, I thought of further clarification on the INI thing. It is important to understand that the reason that it is good to get that number as low as possible, zero if you can, is because any stormwater that you have getting into the sewer system reduces capacity because you have flow from something that's not supposed to be in there, directly increases cost because now you're sending it to the sewage treatment plant to be treated when it doesn't really need to be treated, and also increases cost because of that reduced capacity. So. I'm sorry, a little bit of wonky education there. Thank you. All right, thank you, Administrator Gracely. Each of our department heads are here who didn't get to stand up and make a report, or their representatives are here. Chad is here for Robbie. Is there any questions from council for any of those department heads? All right, since there are none, thank you all for attending.
Oh, it is for Chief Hanshaw. Just as briefly as possible. I know with these body cameras coming in and all, these things are so important to what you do and what the public sees. And what is the policy for use of body cameras and that data and what happens to it? And what's the rule around your officers and the public using the body camera?
All right, that can be a real complex question, but to kind of simplify it is that we have a retention period of, I think right now, 45 days for stuff that's not related to as evidentiary value for court or purposes of that nature. So we use them at every, then we go on. So the new system, she covered quite a bit of it, but really we're scratching the surface. This stuff's really high tech, got a lot of things going on as far as supervisor being able to log in and see live views of what's going on with the officers on scenes. There's man down button safety features, you know, just tons of stuff, and the ability that it does a lot of things, it'll activate for them. We can set, preset, and kind of have like drop zones where it'll have the cameras on automatically when they get into those fences and stuff. So there's quite a bit of stuff to them, but we use them all the time, pretty steady.
Is there, and the reason I add, you see videos that pop up on social media, it makes police officers look bad. It makes the public look bad because there's a camera and it doesn't lie. How are you educating your officers to be mindful of what? I mean, they've got to do the job, but at the same time, they need to present a public face. And unfortunately, law enforcement gets a bad rap sometimes, and they really shouldn't.
Correct.
And, you know, a video pops up and it looks bad, but I don't know. Is there something that goes into that with your folks where you're like, be cognizant of this and what you're doing?
Well, I'd like to think that our culture is that whether the camera's on or not, we're doing the same type of stuff, and we're encouraging them to treat people the way they should. The cameras should hopefully just capture that type of interactions. You know, I was skeptic at first about some of these issues when they first come onto the scene, so I'm concerned with it, but I'm a firm believer in it's been more of a benefit than it has been a hassle. Because it more often than not, it reflects properly what's really going on between these officers, these citizens, and these interactions. Occasionally, you know, even video, though it's real, does not always paint the correct picture. There sometimes are factors and things that, you know, outside of what you can see that relate to the situation. So,
I share the same concerns with you. And especially the storage and the data and the privacy issues, and I think it has been a benefit, and I hope it has been for your department about protecting people's rights, which is your primary job, and keeping you guys safe and telling the true story when the time comes. So I hope it does that.
It does. So then they have the ability to turn things off if there's a privacy issue for citizens or something of that nature. We don't. That's not something we release. It's not even FOIA warrants or FOIA stuff unless we can. There are search stipulations where we can provide it to the victims to view in our presence and stuff like that. But it's not something that has to be given out to everybody for that consideration, that there is a lot of privacy issues, mainly for the public.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Anybody else on council? Councilman Rip.
Sure. I wanted to thank Chief and Andy this last week. We got two different calls, two different homes. One had to deal with in Andy's wheelhouse, and one dealt with the police. And I appreciate you guys taking care of that for me. Officer Donnelly attended as well. So just wanted to give y'all a shout out. Thank y'all very much.
Council? All right, if that concludes our department head reports, thank you all for attending. And if you don't have any items coming up under business, you are excused if you would like to leave. Thank you. This brings us to our business items, starting with item 7A, the proposed annexation agreement with Metro Connects. Administrator Gracely, would you summarize, please?
Yes, thank you, Mayor and Council. This essentially is an intergovernmental agreement between MetroConnex and the City of Simpsonville that would establish some written policies for how we handle annexation into MetroConnex district. They were established by enabling legislation in 1976, and their district was outlined when they were established. As the city annexes property, sometimes that property is part of MetroConnex district. And so this basically just puts in writing what we've already been practicing, and that is that the goal is to have whichever service provider is closest and can provide that service at the least cost to the developer will actually be the service provider for that particular project. It just establishes some guidelines for when the council is considering annexation of a property. MetroConnex would be notified, and then they would determine where their closest connection is. We would determine where our closest connection is and see which one makes more sense to provide the sewer service. We're both in the sewer collection business, and so the objective here is to keep the cost as low as possible for the end user. We don't want to run a line a mile outside of our current jurisdiction if MetroConnex is 200 yards away, for instance. Nor do we want to infringe on their district. So that's essentially what this agreement puts in writing.
Thank you. That motion is in order. Councilman Pulliam?
Mr. Mayor, I'm going to move that council approve the proposed annexation agreement with MetroConnex.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Houlihan with a second from Councilmember Hutchings. Discussion? I have one question that there's a clause in here that says the parties acknowledge and agree that the determination of the sewer service provider for any property proposed to be annexed by the city shall be determined prior to any annexation. Does that pose any additional hurdles or create additional time for developers or the city?
No.
Is that what we currently do anyway?
It is, essentially. We just have never had an agreement in writing that spells that out before. So yes, that is what we currently do. MetroConnex would just review that and determine, like I said, where their existing service is and whether or not it makes more sense for them to be the provider or for us to be the provider.
Okay, that's it for me. Okay, on the motion to approve the proposed annexation agreement with MetroConnex and move this item to the agenda of our next business meeting, all those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Yes. All opposed signify by saying no. Motion carries unanimously. Next item, proposed ordinance O-2023-05, update to business license ordinance. Administrator Gracely, will you summarize, please?
Yes, Mayor, thank you. If it feels like we just did something similar to this a few months ago, we kind of did. Essentially, what we did a few months ago was to, they the municipal association collects certain fees on our behalf and then distributes them back to us and the other municipalities. That was just clarifying the name of those fees and where those fees were deriving and how they got sent to us. That is a portion of the business license ordinance. What this ordinance does, it is mandated by Act 176 of 2020. You all probably remember during our meetings with the Municipal Association, all of the discussion about having a model business license ordinance and everybody having the same renewal period, not the same rates. It's still up to the municipality to determine what the rate structure would be. But this legislation mandates that the Business License Standardization Act requires that by December 31st of every odd year, each municipality must adopt by ordinance the latest standardized business license class schedule. So I guess what I'm saying to you is you really don't have much choice but to adopt this to keep us compliant with state law. It may shift some rate classes around a little bit, but we anticipate it would be revenue neutral and not impact any one particular business in any of these classes negatively.
Motion is in order. Councilmember Roche.
Mayor, I move that council approve the proposed ordinance O-2023-05, update to business license ordinance.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Roche with a second from Councilmember Gooch. Discussion? Councilmember Hutchings.
This one would need to be done every odd year, every 2 years.
Correct. So this should be the last amendment that we hear until December of, well, it would have come to you in October to be put into law by December 31st of 2025. So yeah, October of 25 would be the next time I would be coming to this body with another amendment. Proposed amendment. And of course it would again just be to this rate schedule, this classification schedule here, not rate schedule.
One other question, just for curiosity's sake, why are billiard and pool tables pulled out of this? In section 1, 8.6, why is there a distinction there?
It's required by the state law to do that. We don't have any choice over how this classification schedule is rendered. So I can't really answer why those were pulled out. I would imagine there was a lobbying group in front of the state legislature back in 2020 that didn't like the way it was being done.
Any further discussion? On the motion to approve the proposed ordinance O-2023-05 update to the business license ordinance and move this item to the agenda of the next business meeting. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Yes. All opposed signify by saying no. Motion carries unanimously. Next item, proposed ordinance TX-2023-03, miscellaneous refinements to the zoning ordinance. Administrator Gracely.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. So this text amendment or these refinements to the zoning ordinance is simply to put to paper what we've already discussed with South Main Street between West Curtis and Trey. We have referred to that as wanting it to be our festival street for quite some time, really since we started discussing the downtown revitalization project. And so what this text amendment does is it allows us more flexibility within the zoning ordinance for parking and for architectural and facade in that what would be considered a special entertainment district. And that is just, as I said, South Main Street between West Curtis and Trey. And it spells it out very clearly in the proposed text amendment refinements. Mr. Knudsen is also able to answer questions about this. Primarily, it came up because in talking with the landscape architects about the Festival Street and how we want to eliminate the curbs and just have everything be one level so that there are no tripping hazards when we're having festivals out there. The zoning ordinance requires parking stops for any on-street parking. Well, that doesn't work when you're trying to have a level festival street. So we had to make some refinements to allow for what we have said for a couple of years now that we desire to do with South Main Street. And so essentially that's it. It would also give us some flexibility with some facade on buildings. For instance, if somebody wanted to do roll-up doors or add a balcony or something like that, it just gives us a little more flexibility to approve those things that may not be spelled out in the zoning ordinance. And like I said, Mr. Knudsen could answer any other questions you have. We try to keep it very general because we can't think of every conceivable thing that may come up, but primarily we're really just talking about, you know, a little flexibility in the zoning ordinance to allow for certain things. One of the things that just occurred to me is the partnership community hub that's developing the old service station property wanted to build a stage that would face into their development and also face the street, and it would be shared use so that when there is an event going on that's a public event, the stage, we would just reverse it and it would face out to the street. That's not the kind of thing that the zoning ordinance would typically allow right on the property line. So it's to allow for that kind of structure on this street only.
Motion is in order. Councilmember Gooch.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. I move to accept proposed ordinance TX-2023-03, miscellaneous refinements to the zoning ordinance.
Second. Have a motion from Councilmember Gooch with a second from Councilmember Roche. Discussion? Councilmember Roche?
I don't see anything in the paperwork that we received that actually gives the definition of DO-E set of zoning code.
That's the actual designation that will be given to this design overlay. It's just the name of the overlay.
Okay, so it's not a general...
No, it doesn't need its own definition. It's just like we have a town overlay, downtown overlay, village commerce area. It's just the name designated to that section of zoning ordinance and those standards and where it applies.
So the only two things that this would change would be the parking design and the building facade.
Yeah, so all of the existing DOTC or that town center district, they still apply. The zoning ordinance outside of anything that's not covered in the DOTC would then apply. So instead of writing all of those ordinances, we reference that the zoning ordinance and the existing overlay that's there. It's kind of like double overlay almost. Mm-hmm. And then at that point, yes, this parking design building facade are the two that are kicking in at that point.
Thank you.
Councilmember Hutchings.
On the the example that was given earlier about the stage, if that were to come up, would that automatically be approved for this area, or would that have to go before council, or would that be at the discretion of the?
So that's something that would probably be between Diana and myself on staff level for approval.
All right, thank you.
Anything further from council? Thank you. On the motion to approve the proposed ordinance TX-2023-03, miscellaneous refinements to the zoning ordinance, and moving this item to the next business meeting agenda, all those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Yes. All opposed signify by saying no. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Knudsen. The last item on the agenda is presentation of leadership Golden Strip mural design. Administrator Gracely.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. This project has been talked about for a while. So the Leadership Golden Strip Group, part of their project for this class, is proposing to do three murals, one in Malden, one in Simpsonville, one in Fountain Inn. And these murals would have elements that would be notable in each design. The idea is to connect all three communities of the Golden Strip through this project. I am at this point going to ask Brittany Hilbert, who is representing the Leadership Golden Strip class for this project, to summarize their overall project and maybe talk about some of the elements in this proposed mural.
Sure, thank you. And I have with me the ladies of Art House. So we used them, we commissioned them to find an artist to do each of the murals. So when we talked about our project, Leadership Golden Strip takes leaders from Fountain Inn, Simpsonville, and Walden. And each year they're tasked with a service project. So past projects have been the swings, the water feature down in Fountain Inn. But our class really wanted to make an impact in all three of our communities. And we felt that public art was really the best way to do that. So in Fountain Inn, the mural will go on Burdett's Hardware Store. Here, we are looking to do the mural on the Art Center. So it'll go on the back and it will face the new city park in what will be kind of their little plaza area. And then in Malden, it's going to go on the Cultural Center. And so we wanted these murals to be distinct for each community, but have elements that represented how each community was connected. So I'm not sure if you're aware, but the Golden Strip was named because of the yellow water lines that ran through all of the communities. So the artist chose to use the water as the connecting feature for all of the murals. So all the murals are going to have this water element running through them. Just add a nod to the Golden Strip and how that was named. So for this, we had asked members of the community to kind of give us words and things that they really felt summarized the community. And so since this is going on the art building, you know, we've got the palette for the art, but that building used to be a school. So the artist made the V a book, kind of as a nod to the fact that that building used to be an educational facility for children. We've got the Google pin drop, kind of, you know, we're on the map, here we are. And then just iconic things. So without calling out the ice cream station, which is definitely kind of iconic in the community, we've got the ice cream. There's also the train. The train's also featured in the Malden mural as well. And then we've got Heritage Park, the clock tower, and then we even incorporated the diamonds from the new logo design. And then at Diana's suggestion, we used the hashtag Simply Connected. I think that's something the city and the Chamber of Commerce are both going to start using as a way to kind of amplify businesses and connect them together and with the community.
Thank you. The motion is in order. Councilmember Houlihan.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, this is the last committee of the whole meeting for the year. It's my last committee of the whole meeting ever, but more importantly, the last one of the year, which doesn't give us a lot of time for discussion on items like this that are going to come up for council for a vote. I can tell you, based on 8 years of experience working with some of these people and 4 years of experience working with the others, that there is zero way in this meeting we are going to look at a design and approve it. It's not going to happen. I'm not walking out of here with that tonight. To that end, I'm going to move that the mayor and council that we appoint an ad hoc committee of at least 3 council members to work with the leadership Golden Strip team to review and revise this design and be prepared to bring it back to council for a vote at the November or the December business meeting.
Second. I have a motion from Councilmember Houlihan with a second from Councilmember Gooch to do about 3 paragraphs worth of motion. Discussion. Councilmember Williams.
I'll just reiterate that having gone through this a number of times, I think that this is the most efficient way for us to get to a final product that the council will approve before the end of the year. We have successfully done this previously with ad hoc committees for the downtown master plan, on which Mr. Hutchings was assigned. Other ad hoc groups that we've had that decided on things like related to the other murals that we have up around the city. And that tends to get us the best possible collaboration between the council and other people and get us to an actual product that the council feels good about voting on, as opposed to sitting in a meeting tonight and everybody sharing their opinion on the shape of the letter S and the color of the sun or whatever elements we might have opinions on. Members of council can instead provide that information to the members of the ad hoc committee, and I would suggest that it would be appropriate for the mayor to serve on that committee, for Mr. Hutchings probably to serve on that committee as someone with experience working with murals and the arts and previous ad hoc committees, and then at least one other member of the council who is not myself, is not Mr. Cummings, and is not Mr. Gooch.
Since you're leaving.
Since we're leaving.
I want to volunteer. Two volunteers. So, Councilmember Roche?
I echo Jen's opinion on putting this to a committee. I served on the committee for the other murals, and it was a painstaking kind of a thing. We had many presentations, and you know, through process of elimination, we came up with what we thought was great in those particular places, and it was a great experience. And then we came back and put it to council. Having, you know, polled to know what they wanted, it was the best way to come to a decision, rather than, like Ms. Houlihan said, taking this apart tonight or trying to come up with an agreement between seven people. I'm happy to serve again. That's all.
That's all. So before we go to a vote on the motion, you suggested myself and Councilmember Hutchings, Councilmember Roche says she'd like to, and Councilmember Root said he'd be glad to do it. The only issue that brings with it is that's four of us, so that we create a quorum, so we would have to do, not that that's a problem, but we would just have to do public notice before having a meeting, even if we're meeting with this group. Is that a problem for us to do, as long as we just need to get 24 hours notice under state law and our ordinance?
Yes, so we can do it that way. You know, perhaps you could decide amongst yourselves that three would do it, and then we wouldn't have that requirement, because it's going to be difficult to schedule times that work for the leadership folks and the representatives from Art House. So I think it would probably be better to limit to three.
And I think what we'll do is after the meeting, then with the four of us, we'll get together and I don't know, play rock, paper, scissors or something. Cross for us. So, okay. Any further discussion? Okay. I'm going to read the motion back. If it's not correct, you can correct me on what you stated. So, on the motion to appoint an ad hoc committee of at least three members of council to work with the Golden Strip leadership team and bring a proposal back to council at the November or December business meeting. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes. Yes.
All in opposition signify by saying no. Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you. And with that concludes all the items on our agenda. If there is no objection,